So that's the disclaimer before we start. But with God's help to warn others that all secret societies and oath-taking is abominable to Almighty God. Revelation 12 verse 1 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." In order to give my testimony, I need to just tell you a little bit about myself and my family. I was the youngest of three boys. I was brought up in Standish, born in Standish, brought up in Standish. And we all had to go to the Methodist church twice every Sunday. My mother was brought up Church of England, my father was Methodist. But as usually the case, when they got married, my mother became a Methodist along with him. However, they did not go to church except on special occasions, but the three of us boys had to go to church. And so I resented going to church, and the resentment grew stronger. I suppose we could call it rebellion, but call it whatever it was, that's what happened. I didn't like going. But so when I was about 15, something like that, I stopped going to church. So the rebellion was sort of complete, and for years then I argued against God. That was the way I went, because that's how I felt. I felt I'd been made to do it, and that's all I could say. I had blinkers on. I did, however, carry on for about a year going to the youth club, because that wasn't so bad. I could tolerate that. But however, that came to an end, because again, it was associated with the church, so I didn't bother with that. And funnily enough, around about that time, one of my brothers, older brothers, gave his life to the Lord around this time. Funnily enough, that was in Chorley, actually, that happened. But that was always a source of irritation with me, and it was irritation between us because of this friction. He went that way, I went the opposite way. When I was about 23, I met Lynn, and then about 18 months later, we got married. We had our first child, Amanda, about 2.5 years after we got married, and then about 3 years after that, we had our second child, Melanie. And life was quite good, it was happy. A couple of years after that, I was invited to join the Freemasons. That was by a friend of ours. This started to take more and more time of my family life. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Masons, but there's a lot of things you've got to learn, all sorts of rituals. You're supposed to learn many things off by heart, which I didn't take to. I didn't like that side of it. I mean, mainly I joined because of the social side of going to Masons, dances and things like that. But there was a lot more to it than that. We then, some time after that, started our own business, which quickly became successful. And that meant, really, that I got little spare time for the Masons. And eventually, I resigned from the Masons. That was after about 13 years. They don't like that sort of thing. But nevertheless, I felt that it had to be done, and I felt I had to leave it behind. But still, I'd been a Mason. That was the problem. Our girls, now teenagers, were struggling with various issues, and there seemed to be much unrest. In 1993, excuse me, this bit gets a bit hard. In 1993, our first grandchild arrived, a beautiful little girl, Heather Louise. But within 2 weeks, she was in the eye hospital with a serious eye infection, which could have resulted in blindness. But she recovered. But then, when she was 2.5, she got meningitis B. Now, I don't know if any of you know which one that is, but it's the worst of the meningitis ones. They get septicemia inside them. It's a brain disease, but the septicemia goes right through the body. And this is where these blemishes come up on the body, what appear to be bruises. Within no time at all, she was unconscious. It's horrible disease. She was rushed to Wigan Infirmary, and then she went to Alderhay Hospital in Liverpool. In a terrible way she was. So much so that they told us she wouldn't make it through the night. We were just devastated. Lynn, Amanda and many others prayed to God. Privately, I prayed to God, but to a God I didn't believe in. But I was desperate. I didn't know what else to do. I suppose it's similar to a lot of people at the moment of distress or whatever. They pray, but they don't know God. But I didn't. After about 2 weeks of being unconscious, she came round. But this was a very unpleasant time, as the disease had affected her, and we did not know at this point whether she would lose any limbs, be blind, brain damaged or anything, because it is a disease of the brain, so we just didn't know. And this bruising that goes on the skin, apparently it goes on inside the body, and that's why limbs can die and they've got to be amputated because of it. But thank God that after some time she went on to make a full recovery, albeit apart from huge scars on her body. Lynn and Amanda were convinced that this was a miracle from God, but I was still the sceptical one. Because she'd made a recovery, I couldn't accept that. This experience with our grandchild greatly affected Lynn, and she truly began to seek the Lord, but I resisted anything to do with this. This, of course, then put pressure on our relationship, because we'd always done everything together, but I felt the Lord was taking her away from me, so I blamed God for that. But during 2008, which was some years later, many things were affecting our family and giving great cause for concern, and Lynn often mentioned the curses that had come from Freemasonry, these oaths and curses, and she'd done a bit of homework on it and knew quite a bit about it. But it always angered me. The same as any mention of God angered me, this angered me, because I thought I'd shut that behind and it had gone. But eventually in 2009 I started to listen. Now that in itself, if you'd known me, was a miracle that I would start listening. And I agreed, out of desperation and love for my family, to go and see a ministry in Hampshire, quite a long way away. But Lynn knew of them, and this is run by a brother and a sister who have a lot of knowledge of Freemasonry and do a lot to help people, to free people from Freemasonry and the oaths and the curses that go with it. And I went to see them in 2009. Now that, for me, was amazing. Lynn was I know she was nervous about me going, that I might just give them a mouthful, but nevertheless I went. But I don't know, I just went, and I can't explain why I went at all. After speaking to them for quite a long time, they read me a list of the oaths and curses, which I recognised from Freemasonry. But then I was astonished to learn that these same oaths and curses were the exact same ones used in witchcraft. As all this began to sink in, I was upset and angry that I'd been led into this by a so-called friend. Now, I did make these oaths and curses, I can't deny that, and at the time I thought nothing of it, and I thought it was just a load of rubbish. And you don't realise really what you're getting into and what path you're going down. They then went on to ask me, this same friend who led me into it, by the way, has experienced an awful lot of problems in his life. Was a lot worse than mine, really. They then went on to ask me about my resistance to God, and I explained that I'd been made to go to church and I resented it, and I held a grudge against my parents all that time for those 40 odd years, really. Now, they then pointed out to me, my parents were dead at this stage, and they said, why are you still carrying on holding this grudge? It's futile. What for? They were, and really, all they were trying to do was bring me up in a Christian way. That's all they were trying to do. There wasn't anything sinister or anything about it. But I had these blinkers on again that they, were forcing me to go. And they said, isn't it time you forgave them? And I thought about it for a moment and I agreed. It was. Again, I don't know. Something was happening to me. I was then asked if they could pray with me. And to my surprise, I said yes. That was a miracle. They were even so obliging that they even said, if it offended me, they wouldn't use the name God. But I said it didn't matter. But the important thing was they wanted me to pray with them. But by that point, I'd not got a problem with it. During this prayer, I forgave my parents. And I asked God in the name of Jesus to release me from these Masonic oaths and curses. At that point, tears were streaming down my face and also down the face of those praying with me. I'd never felt anything like this before. I felt as though a big burden had been lifted from me, taken off me. I didn't quite realise it then, but I'm absolutely certain that Jesus had touched me. And I've never been the same since. It was a wonderful feeling. It was as if a light switch had been switched on from dark to light in an instant. I still have difficulty understanding it. You understand it, but then you think, why, how? But I can only say it was from God. It's got to be. Because if anybody had known me at that time, or before that time, they wouldn't have accepted what had happened. So I say it was amazing, and I'm truly grateful to the Lord. Just before we left, I was invited to a conference on Freemasonry, Freedom from Freemasonry, they called it, which I attended, and during that I renounced every single individual oath and curse emanating from Freemasonry in the name of Jesus. Because that's the only way these things can be broken, through Jesus. It was and is very apparent that Freemasonry and Christianity are just not compatible. But for somebody to say they're a Freemason and a Christian, there's something wrong somewhere. One is darkness, one is light. One is of Satan, one is of God. And for the first time in my life, I felt a desire to worship the Lord, and it felt good. I'd never known that before. I'd just like to say as well that after that, that my eldest son Cameron used to pray for me along with his mum Amanda. And he prayed that one day he would like me to know Jesus. And I had the privilege of being baptised with him. Along with my granddaughter Jemima, we were baptised in the River Brock up in the Trough of Bowland, which is near where they live, and it was cold. But I was able to give a brief testimony on this wonderful occasion in front of about 50 Christians. Most of them came from the church at Inskip, and I was baptised, but funnily enough, by an American pastor who's over in this country. Feel it's his calling, and he's a missionary here from America preaching the gospel to us. And his son was also baptized. And I would say in closing, if anybody knows anybody who's anything to do with Freemasonry, that they need to renounce it in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying that all problems come from that, but they should at least get rid of that out of their lives. To eliminate that. And just as a matter of sort of interest, I'll read you, there's a list here of, this applies to all secret societies that take oaths. And it isn't just Freemasonry. There's Freemasonry, Orangism, Order of Buffaloes, Knights Templars, Jesuit Priesthood, Magic Circle, Eastern Star, Independent Order of Bedfellows, Mormonism. There's a long list here of them all, but they all take oaths, and they swear to their secret society. Participation in secret society oath taking and ritualism literally means that a death curse can hang over the whole family. In Exodus it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The good news is that these curses can be broken in genuine repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting his offer of salvation. I'll just read one of the this is the more tame sort of oaths. This is one that's taken when you take in the first degree of Freemasonry. The first degree is the first one you take, and it says, "Binding myself under no less of penalty than having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly or willingly violate this solemn oath and obligation as a Freemason, so help me God." Now that isn't the God, that is not our God. As you go through Freemasonry and you go into it, they don't tell you at the time, but the head of Freemasonry is Lucifer, is Satan, and you led up to that eventually. So all these things that they have about charities, etc., doing this, doing that, they are a smoke screen for what is going on. And I just thank God that I'm out of it and I've renounced it and it's nothing to do with me anymore. But I would just warn anybody that it is not good. It is not good at all. And just lastly, a reading from 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." This certainly applies to me. Hallelujah.